had to kick off my shoes. Now I'm a little bit shorter. My father-in-law said he's really glad for the big screen because then he can see me. So I'm a little bit short. But I feel good because the music director is a little bit shorter than me, so I'm thankful for that. You know, when we first were getting ready to come back to the States, we'd been in Palau for over 3 years, and I needed to get a picture taken with a tie on. I put the tie on and the shirt and everything, and I felt awkward because I hadn't worn one since I got there. And my daughters looked at me, and my middle one said, "Daddy, you look funny." And then the next one said, "Daddy, you look like a Mormon." It's only the Mormons in Palau wear ties, maybe a few senators. And, you know, actually putting on an island shirt is sort of like this is sort of like the equivalent of a three-piece suit. And I actually have my dress flip-flops and my work and casual flip-flops. So I can tell, I can already sense there's several of you saying, "I feel the call to the islands." But seriously, we love serving God. And when we were at Brookside serving as assistant pastor there, we loved it with all of our heart. And when God led us as a family to go to Palau, we've loved every minute there. And really, the thing I want to say is serving God is awesome. Don't miss that. If it's serving God at the Shell gas station, as somebody working behind the counter there, do it with your whole heart and you'll enjoy it. If it's serving God at some hospital somewhere, do it with your whole heart and you'll enjoy it. But serving God is awesome. If it's going to some mission field, you're lucky, because it's really awesome. And I'm here to tell you that serving God is awesome. Wherever God puts you, whenever, whatever, just do it with your whole heart. And that's really the message today. Let's look back in our text at 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to finish verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. We started yesterday with the first part, not getting entangled. It says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I remember the day that I married my beautiful bride, Jamie, almost like yesterday. It was July 22nd, 1995. And although it seems like yesterday, it's hard to believe it's been over 16 years. Time flies by. But what a faithful and godly wife she has been. I love the verse in Proverbs 18:22. It says, "He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing." And I can attest to that. For us to understand this study today, I want the guys in here to kind of imagine with me that you've graduated and it's your wedding day. You just said, "I do." You're standing at the reception with your bride. And then all the people are coming and they're greeting you and congratulating you, and it's a wonderful day. And then out of the corner of your eye, you look and you see an old girlfriend over on the side. And you're with your bride and you're talking, and she comes up and greets you all and congratulates you, and then your bride keeps looking at you and she sees you going like this at your old girlfriend. And she's standing next to you, and you keep going, smiling over at her. And the whole time, you're just kind of trying to make eye contact with your old girlfriend. How do you think your bride is going to feel? She's probably going to take the cake and slap it on your head. Because that is not what you do when you get married. Keeping that in mind, imagine now you go to your on your honeymoon and you're at a condominium and on the beach somewhere, and it's the second day of your honeymoon, and you get a call And after you hang up, you say, "Honey, hope you don't mind. I know it's our honeymoon and everything, but the guys really insisted on coming over and bringing pizza, and they wanted to watch some video clips of the old Basil Turkey Bowl." How do you think she's going to feel? She's going to kill you. It just won't fly. Why? Because you're more interested in being with the guys than you are with being your new bride. As offensive as that would be to a new bride, I believe with all my heart, when Jesus sees us so consumed with things, gadgets, and little hobby horses and things that we do and replace Him, and we're constantly looking back at these things instead of looking to Him, it is just as offensive to Him. When a believer is no longer interested in pleasing the Lord Jesus with his life, but is more interested in pleasing himself or pleasing someone else, he ceases to be a good soldier. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time we can study your word together. Thank you for these students. Thank you for the faculty. Thank you for this school. Lord, I pray that you will continue to do your work. Lord, help us now in the stillness of this hour to hear your voice, and then help us to respond. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in verse 4, it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." And here's the motive: that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You see the motive behind why you're willing to walk away from the pleasures of this life? It's to please Jesus. The motivation for a good soldier of Jesus Christ must be to please Jesus. Pleasing Jesus requires real faith. It requires real faith in a God who chose you. God chose you as a soldier, and it requires real faith to please Him. One pastor said it like this: true faith means holding nothing back. It means putting every hope in God's promises. Let me try to say it this way: you will never, ever please God without true faith. So what's Satan's goal for you today? You know what his goal is? It's to shake your faith. It's to make you not trust in a good God. It's to shake your faith. Because to please God, to please Jesus, you must have real, true faith. Look with me. Flip over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. 5 and 6. In verse 5 it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Enoch didn't sit there. The Bible doesn't say that he sat there and believed that he could be translated out of this life. That's not what it says. He didn't sit there and believe that life could somehow be better. And so, voila, all of a sudden it was better. No, it simply says that he lived his life in faith and it pleased God. Look on at verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, I think back as a teenager how Satan was working so hard to shake my faith. You see, as a young man, I had put my faith in Jesus. As a 5-year-old, I heard a message on hell and it scared me. And I went home thinking that I knew I had done things in my life that weren't right. And I needed help, but I was too scared to go up. And so I went to bed that night. And I really believe God has a sense of humor, because That night, a big storm came and a lightning bolt struck the tree near the house, and thunder was so loud it woke me up out of bed. And I ran to my mom and dad's room, and they led me in saving faith in Christ. You know what? For several years, things were great. But it was about maybe sixth grade I started thinking on my own. And Satan began to work hard. By eighth grade, an evangelist came to our school, and he preached a message on moral purity. And I raised my hand that I wanted to be morally pure. Well, guess what? Satan's goal is to shake your faith. And about a month later, that evangelist was disciplined out of our church for running off with a college girl. Okay? You talk about shaking your faith. At that time, I'm thinking, okay, this is a joke. These guys are manipulating me. I don't want anything to do with it. And I remember rebelling so hard. And you know, it continued on for years until God took out that spiritual 2x4. I was expelled from Maranatha Academy. And as a result of getting expelled from there, my mom wanted to keep me out of trouble. And really, all three of my brothers were expelled at the same time. My younger brother, my older brother Paul, was expelled, and my second oldest was disciplined out of the church. It all happened at once. You talk about a family crisis. And as a result, I had things in my life that were just way off. I knew it, but I was bitter. And it came to the point where I would work 4:30 in the morning until about 6 or 7 at night, and my mom would have me do homeschooling at night. I found the answer key. And so I started copying the notes down. And my mom found out. It's not hard to figure that out. I mean, when you see a student, you're getting all A's, something ain't right. Well, she busted me, and guess what? She flunked me in homeschooling. Anybody here ever flunk homeschooling? You talk about a low in life. So I flunked homeschooling. Then my girlfriend dumped me. I climbed to the top of that silo on the farm I was working at, and I literally was thinking about jumping off. But God's grace kept me from doing something so stupid as that. And He stopped me, and He gave me a new hope. You know what? If I think that somehow I chose to follow God, then my faith isn't really in God. It's in me. And it's man-centered. If my faith is man-centered, I will almost certainly, at some point, lose heart. As if somehow I did a favor to God by choosing to follow Him. And somehow He needs me to accomplish His work. Guys and girls, listen to me. Listen to me closely. God doesn't need me to stand here today. God doesn't need me to speak in Palau. God could use a donkey. He has used a donkey to speak. He doesn't need any of us. Yet He chose us as soldiers to do a job, and we're to do it with our whole heart. What an honor and a privilege to serve God. I don't understand this completely. In my simple mind, it's a mystery. God chose me, but somehow in the whole process of everything, He's given me a choice. A choice to accept Him, to trust Him, or to reject Him and trust my own ways. But when I understand that He chose me, it causes me to say, I want to please Him. I want to please You, Lord. I was reading in a book, Spiritual Warfare and Missions, by Dr. Rankin, and he said this: a man will never trust God until he has to. Obedience to God's assignment will almost always be counterintuitive. Satan's role is to intimidate the faith out of us. He points at the waves and highlights the nothingness and displays the risks. Faith is the bridge between God's assignment and our obedience. Let me read that again. Faith is the bridge between God's assignment and our obedience. Don't put it on paper and figure it all out. It won't happen. It will never add up. Faith is when you are looking at God's assignment and you obey. Don't wait for the big sky to open and for God to say, Timbuktu, that's where I want you to go. It's not going to happen. If God gives you a desire, move. Go forward. He goes on to say, without faith in God's supernatural ability and resources through us, we will not consistently get out of bed for Him, much less move to Calcutta. The mission is God's mission, not ours. Faith trusts Him for the details that surround our simple obedience. However, the perception of that special call of God has been twisted by the enemy to convince most Christians that they have no responsibility toward fulfilling the mission of God. It is not unusual after a mission conference, he goes on, or emphasis in church or on a seminary campus for someone to say to me, Dr. Rankin, I'd be willing to go as a missionary, but God hasn't called me. He goes on and he says this, I have trouble responding to that tactfully. We have a lost world that God desires to save, and here's a dedicated Christian who's convinced that he would be willing to go and share the gospel with a lost world. But the reason he doesn't is that God has chosen not to call him. We forget that the task of missions belongs to the church, the people of God. Pleasing God, pleasing Jesus requires real faith. Second, pleasing Jesus requires immediate obedience to a God who knows what's best for you. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Listen, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, if you do not obey God immediately, you're going to get entangled. You're going to get caught up in all the things around you. It's a regular thing for us to hear of men who are out serving God who get tangled up and completely go AWOL. And I wonder, I can't prove this, but I wonder how many sad accounts could be traced back to a time where God told them to do something that was way outside of their comfort zone and they refused. And so God said, okay, you want to be comfortable? Fine. Listen, God wants your real faith and he wants your immediate obedience. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. I love how Francis Chan put it. Most of us use, I'm waiting for God to reveal his calling on my life, as a means of avoiding action. Did you hear God calling you to sit in front of the television yesterday? Or go on your last vacation or exercise this morning? Probably not, but you still did it. The point is, not that vacations are wrong, but that we are quick to rationalize our entertainment and priorities, yet are slow to commit to serving God. I think he's right. Guys and girls, it's in the times that you are so scared you don't know what to do next, or so uncertain that what's going to happen, that your dependency is on God. God wants us to be people that live by faith, not by sight. Yes, it's good to sit down and think it through, but don't let that be your final decision. It'll never add up. It'll never add up. Don't just settle for a memory of a past highlight where God was working through you. Take it to where you are now, at work. If you're at UPS, take it to Walmart. Take it to the landscaping job you have. Don't just talk religious and pat yourself on the back for a strong stand for Jesus. No, do something that's going to make your heart pound and your doubt to rise and you call on God for help. That is when God is going to go to work. You know, I'm not here today to tell you that every one of you here is called to missions. I have no right to say that. But I will tell you this. Believe in God and obey Him. Believe in God and obey Him. That is your mission. As you believe Him and He begins to tug at your heart to talk to your neighbor about Jesus, obey. Don't sit there and say, well, I'm going to wait for the right time. No, get in there and do it. As you believe in God and you hear Him say that the relationship you are in is not right, get out. If He tugs your heart and He says to do it, do it. As you believe in God and you hear Him say He wants you to pack up your things and go some faraway place or somewhere else, do it. Obey. That's the heart of it. You know, it's not complicated. It's hard, but it's not complicated. And the truth is, it's really not hard after the first step. When you believe, He meets you and He takes you the rest of the way. It's going to be tough, but you know what? His grace is way more than you ever would ever ask. He's there for you. So pleasing Jesus requires true faith. It requires immediate obedience, and it will bring eternal rewards. The verse says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Can you be pleasing to God and be a teacher? Can you be pleasing to God and be a guy who collects the trash in the neighborhood? Can you be pleasing to God and be a lawyer? Of course. Let me tell you, the thing God wants is your heart. The job you have is not what determines your eternal rewards. Did you hear me? The job you have is not what determines your eternal rewards. If you're pleasing Jesus, He will reward you. I remember as I was getting ready to graduate from grad school, and I didn't know where I was going to go for ministry. I was actually working with my brothers. We started a roofing company to try to pay the bills and get through. And I didn't have a place where I was going to go serve. And I was really feeling embarrassed. All my buddies knew where they were going to go. Hey, Zimmer, where are you going? I said, I don't know. And it's getting near graduation. And I remember clearly pounding nails on the roof and praying, Lord, if you want me to do this the rest of my life, roofing, I'll do it to the best I can, and I'll tell others about Jesus while I do it. But I think, God, I believe you're calling me to do something, but I want to please you. You know, a little while later, it was right before graduation, I got a phone call, and it was from Brookside Baptist, and they flew us up right before exams, and it was clear this was God's doing. And we loved it. But what's so interesting about that story is that my younger brother Dave actually bought the business from my other brother Mark. And Dave had that same heart cry, and he still does. It's the heart cry that says, if you want me to do this, I'm going to do it. I want to please you. You know, God gave Dave wisdom to work hard, gave him wisdom to know what to do and how to be a good businessman. And God prospered Detail Roofing in a way that no one could explain. And you know what? Dave is pleasing the Lord. And as he's working and doing his job, he's faithfully supporting missionaries all around the world. You know what? My point is that God wants your heart. We need Christians in Greenville. But I'm talking to you guys and girls and those of you that you know God's doing something. He wants your heart. The worst place for you to be in the world is to be on a mission field, but you're not pleasing God. Can you do that? Yes. That's the worst place in the world. So what I'm saying is, please God and then follow Him, obey Him. And as He leads you, move. I was talking to a guy yesterday, and I told him, hey, you know, he said, I've been struggling with this for years. I don't know exactly what we should do as a family. I do think God may be doing missions in my heart. You know what I said? Take your wife and go find a missionary somewhere around the world and spend a few weeks there. And the whole time you're there to minister to the missionary, don't talk about what God's doing in your heart. Just care for the missionary, watch and learn and minister. But the whole time say, God, show me. Just show me. And it's that step of faith where you say, okay, Lord, here I am. So there's no more questions. The worst thing that can happen is that you're always wondering, was God doing that in my heart? Was God doing that in my heart? And then the whole time, the rest of your life, you live a life of sort of halfway service. Because you don't know. So get out there. Just go and see and let God show you. Don't miss this. Missions Conference is about rallying the troops. But really, at the heart of it all, please, Jesus, whatever you do, do the best for Jesus right where you are today. Don't wait until later. Don't just try to get this part of your life over with. Just do your best to please Jesus where you are today, and you will live your life with no regrets. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8, Paul speaking to young Timothy as he's finishing up his words, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Guys and girls, please, Jesus, just give him your all and let him go to work and do the rest for you. I know that in this room there are some of you that God is working on in missions. Just please Jesus. Go after it, pursue it, but keep pleasing Jesus. And some of you, God isn't necessarily working in that way, but you still, the heart of it all is pleasing Jesus. I believe you could turn Greenville upside down if you all went out as soldiers with this mentality. Because this mentality changes how you treat others, changes how you live your life, and it has real impact. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you've made it so simple. It's not about our big plans. It's not about how polished we are. God, I pray that you'll help these guys and girls to see that really, there are places all around the world that just need someone to come and sit down in a simple way, not wearing all kinds of fancy clothes, but just sit there and love them and show them Jesus. And then I pray that, Lord, that would also happen right here in the different places that are represented, the different areas of work where these guys and girls are. I pray that people would sense the love and then see Jesus through them. Thank you, God, for this special time together. We want to give you all the praise and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.